welcome to another episode of the Revolution Health Radio Show. This show is brought to you by ChrisGresser.com, and I'm your host, Steve Wright from SCD Lifestyle. With me is integrative medical practitioner and New York Times bestseller, Healthy Skeptic, Chris Gresser. Chris, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Steve?
Pretty awesome. I'm on my second cup of coffee, so my mind's ready to go today.
You've been reading all that research we talked about how good coffee is for you, huh?
Exactly. I've been doing IVs of it.
I guess you're not one of those unfortunate people with trashed adrenals.
Or you are,
and you're ignoring my advice.
I could be doing either. I'm still on the mend from the leaky gut launch, so right. I'm on the upswing. I limit myself to 2 cups a day before noon.
All right. That sounds fair. Let us know how it goes.
Okay, we'll go week by week, see what happens.
All right, so we have a great question today. It's not a question that's going to apply to everyone, that's for sure, but it's one that we get quite a bit, and it's actually something that I've struggled with myself. So this is my show, after all. we're gonna talk about it, and I have some personal experience with it. So we're gonna give it a shot. So let's have a listen.
Hi, Chris. This is Robert. I'd like to ask you how to gain weight on a paleo diet. I'm one of those skinny guys who really would like to gain weight, but I didn't succeed so far. I noticed that all the attention usually goes to losing weight, and paleo is particularly advertised to be good for that. Well, fortunately, I didn't lose weight, but I didn't gain either. I'm convinced that being skinny isn't that unhealthy like being heavily overweight, but I'm sure it isn't healthy either. And most of all, it doesn't really look good. So for all those people who are with me in the problem of wanting to gain weight, I would like to ask, please help us. How can we gain weight on paleo? And in particular, I would be very interested, how can one gain weight without adding too much carbs? What else can one do? Thank you so much.
Okay, so this, as I said, this is a question that I get fairly regularly. I think in part that's because the population of people who read my blog and listen to my podcast and follow my work is not necessarily the typical standard American population. Weight loss is definitely a concern in my world, but it's not as much of a concern as you would expect given the statistics on an overall basis in the U.S. And I probably get a question a week or every other week about how to gain weight on paleo. I think I have a lot of lean, active people in my audience, athletic people who are training hard and involved in sports and things like that. And when they switch to paleo, sometimes they actually lose weight. And that's what happened to me, as a matter of fact, when I first switched to a paleo type of diet. So part of my journey in terms of expanding paleo to be more of a paleo template, in part was spurred by the weight loss that I experienced following a strict paleo diet. So this is definitely something that I have some personal experience with, and I also have clinical experience in terms of my work with patients.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think this is a very underserved topic and an underserved niche because, you know, Jordan struggled with this for many years, and so I did a lot of research trying to help him.
Right.
It seems like those people who go undiagnosed with autoimmune conditions for a long time either balloon up one way or balloon down the other way, and then they'll have weight issues to come back to at some point.
Absolutely. And yeah, there are definitely certain issues that don't get discussed as much. So for another one is the poor people with hyperthyroidism. You know, we're always talking about hypothyroidism, and hyperthyroidism is a lot less common, but it's arguably a more serious condition than hypothyroidism. I think it definitely is. So remind me, Steve, we need to do an episode on hyperthyroidism in the future. Give them some love. But Let's, before we get into strategies for how to gain weight on a paleo diet, let's talk a little bit about why someone might be underweight and, you know, what the issues might be there that don't necessarily directly relate to diet. Because I think that's the first question you need to ask if you're having trouble gaining weight is this a problem? Is it something physiologically that's going on that's preventing me from gaining weight? Or is it simply a genetic issue or, you know, a metabolic issue? So statistically speaking, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, this isn't a huge problem. Fewer than 2% of people in the U.S. are classified as underweight, and that's defined as having a body mass index of less than 18.5. So for a woman, for example, who's 5'6", she would have to weigh less than about 114 pounds to qualify as being underweight. In terms of causes, there are actually several things that can contribute to this. I mentioned the first one just now, which was, you know, some people are just born with faster metabolism, metabolic rate, basal metabolic rate than others. That can be in part genetically determined. And those people from birth will be lean and naturally lean and naturally have a hard time putting on weight. So that's definitely a factor. But there are other potential causes. So one of the main ones would be gut issues, particularly malabsorption. So we see this in celiac disease and non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And then with other food intolerances like lactose intolerance or intolerance to any cross-reactive proteins with gluten, what happens here is if you're eating these foods and you're not aware that you're intolerant of them, it causes a chronic inflammatory situation in the gut, which can then interfere with absorption of the nutrients that we need to gain muscle and weight. These people typically will not only be underweight, they'll have a really low muscle mass. So they'll be thin, not necessarily thin and wiry and strong, but they'll be thin and have less than average muscle tone and muscle mass. Another gut issue that can cause difficulty gaining weight is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. SIBO, when bacteria are overgrown in the small intestine, they compete for absorption of key nutrients with us, and they tend to win that battle because they're living, you know, on right in between the nutrients.
They get first dibs.
Yeah, they get first dibs. That's a lot more clear way to put it. And they take what they need, and we only get what's left over. And I do a lot of nutrient testing in my practice, and I can tell you that almost without fail, people who have SIBO have deficiencies of multiple B vitamins. They're often deficient in vitamin D. They're often deficient in minerals. They typically can have low amino acids, even on a paleo diet, which is really interesting because, you know, if someone's eating a lot of protein, you would expect them to have normal amino acid levels, since amino acids are just, you know, breakdown products from eating from protein. But what's happening in these people is they have low stomach acid and the bacterial overgrowth in the small intestine. They're not able to break down the protein that they're eating into the constituent amino acids and absorb them effectively. So you almost have a situation where people are, you know, not necessarily protein starved, but they're low. It looks as if they're on a vegetarian diet, even when they're eating a paleo type of diet. So intestinal permeability, leaky gut is another problem that can cause inflammation and difficulty absorbing nutrients and gaining weight. Dysbiosis, which is a disruption in the gut microbiome, can cause that problem. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So for sure, if weight gain is an issue, you want to be looking at your gut health and following all the suggestions that we've talked about many times on the show and I've written about and talked about in my book. And then you may want to reach out and get some help from a functional medicine practitioner so you can test, do some testing, some stool testing, urine organic acids testing, maybe a SIBO breath test, and figure out if you have any of these conditions and treat them. Because if you do, it's going to make it harder for you to gain weight. Now, clinically, what I see is it may not be a dramatic difference, but it may be the difference between being able to gain weight and not being able to gain weight. In other words, if you've been lean, a fast metabolism person your whole life, and then you treat your gut and you have gut problems, they're interfering with being able to gain weight, and you treat your gut, you're not necessarily going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. Your whole body type isn't going to change, but you will probably be able to put on some weight, even if it's a little bit, in particular muscle, where you weren't able to do that before.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, true for those people who are eating, 3,000 plus calories a day on a paleo diet, and they're still not seeing any fat gain. They're seeing like no gain at all, but their calories are 3,000, 4,000 calories.
Yeah, I mean, like Jordan's a good example. Like he used to be really thin, right? And now he's not really, I mean, he's lean. He's not, his body type didn't just completely change dramatically, but he's not anywhere near as thin as he was when he was really sick. So that's a good example. I'm an example of that too. I have this picture of myself when I was in Thailand doing a meditation retreat in the kind of deepest, hardest part of my illness. And I looked like Lurch from, because my head is shaved, my eyebrows are shaved. I was in this, it was a long 30-day meditation retreat. I had to follow the traditional practice, and I had my shirt off. And I literally looked like I had just come out of a POW camp or something like that. It was crazy. And now, if you know me, I'm still very lean, but I have a lot more muscle on my frame, and I look different than I looked then. So it will be a difference, but it won't be, night and day.
Well, it's still night and day, though. I mean,
right, it is night and day.
It's still 30 pounds plus.
Definitely, it is for me. But, it's like what I'm suggesting is that body type isn't necessarily going to change. Although, in an example I'm going to give later on, there's been at least one case where I have seen a shift, a pretty significant shift in body type and possibly even bone structure, which is really interesting. So,
no. Is there like secondary causes now of this that stem out from the gut relating to hormones, just because of all the inflammation and everything? Is that where we're headed next?
Yeah. I mean, so related to the gut, there's other possibilities here. Yeah, I mean, you can get adrenal fatigue and make it hard to gain weight, hormone imbalance, just the chronic low-grade systemic inflammation can contribute to both weight loss and weight gain, because we also see weight gain with these conditions, and whether someone goes to weight loss or weight gain probably depends on their phenotype and epigenetics and a whole bunch of other factors. Autoimmune disease, as you mentioned, Steve, is another potential cause of difficulty gaining weight, and that can also be a cause of difficulty losing weight. So, but I've seen it work both ways. Hyperthyroidism is a well-known cause of weight loss, and it's not that common, but it is a possibility, and I have detected it in people who didn't know they had it before. Often hyperthyroidism is pretty noticeable when you have it. You'll have pretty severe symptoms and the kind of symptoms that spur people to go to the doctor and figure it out. But that's not always the case. There are, lower intensity versions of hyperthyroidism that, where TSH is only moderately low and T4 and T3 are only moderately high, and people have it and don't know it. So might be worth getting screened for that. Chronic infection is another common cause, or at least more common than a lot of people know or believe, for weight loss. And this can be infections like H. pylori, bacterium that causes ulcers. They could be more stealth infections, which are infections that are difficult to diagnose, such as Lyme disease or Bartonella, or intracellular infections like Mycoplasma, Chlamydia, pneumoniae. So a lot of these infections that can be chronic and insidious in the sense that they're not easily detected. They're not often on the radar of people in mainstream medicine. And people who have them can really run the gamut in terms of their presentation. So, of course, Lyme can be extremely serious and even fatal in some cases. But in other cases, it just causes a range of non-specific symptoms that really drag people down but don't present as really serious, severe illness. And that's also true for things like chlamydia pneumoniae and mycoplasma and even H. pylori, for that matter. H. pylori, of course, can cause gut symptoms, but it's also associated with a whole bunch of other things like skin problems, brain fog, cognitive issues, immune dysregulation. Then you have viral infections, chronic latent viral activity is another potential cause. Type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease, but a specific one that can make it difficult to gain weight. Neurological issues, which can be autoimmune in origin, like MS or epilepsy, things like that, can also make it difficult to gain weight. So as you can see, the number of potential issues here is overwhelming. And I guess from a practical perspective, what you'd want to do is you know, go through this list that we just went through and think about your symptoms. Like if you're completely healthy and difficulty gaining weight is your only complaint, you have no other health complaints, it's fairly unlikely that you're dealing with any of these other problems. I mean, it's possible, but it's pretty unlikely. However, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, yeah, I have a lot of gut symptoms, gas, bloating, constipation, history of gut problems, took a lot of antibiotics when I was young, you know, ate a really poor diet when I was young, then of course you probably should be thinking about gut as a potential contributing factor here. If you have symptoms of chronic infection, like low-grade inflammation, muscle aches and fatigue, general malaise, weak immune function, neurological issues, that sort of thing, then you may want to investigate the stealth infection angle. If you have night sweats, hot flashes, you feel anxious and agitated a lot, you have a tendency towards loose stools, you have body temperature regulation issues, you might want to investigate hyperthyroidism. So of course, this depends on who you are and what you're dealing with. So the next question is being underweight actually a problem? And that's an important question because there are different reasons that people want to gain weight. One is because they think that being underweight is unhealthy and they're concerned about their longevity. Another might just be aesthetic, you know, want to gain some weight for vanity may not be the right word, but just to...
People want to look good naked.
Yeah, to feel confident in their appearance and look better. And those are both valid reasons. According to the research, being slightly underweight is usually not associated with problems, but being significantly underweight is associated with issues, both increased morbidity, difficulty fighting disease, and increased mortality. So with weight, you see like a U-shaped curve with mortality. People who are really underweight have a higher risk of death, and people who are really overweight have a higher risk of death. But the problem in some ways with this research is it's very difficult to tease out causality. So when you see research showing that there's an association between people who are underweight and a higher risk of death, how do we know that it's being underweight that is causing the higher risk of death and not some condition that they have that's causing them to be underweight that's also causing the higher risk of death? And I suspect it's more the latter, which goes back to what we were just talking about in terms of the importance of investigating these underlying conditions. In women, we often see really underweight women, especially those who are training hard, develop amenorrhea or dysmenorrhea, where they stop having a period. They can develop infertility and a number of hormonal issues. That's probably the biggest thing that we see in women. In men and women, you can see weak immune function and, as I said, difficulty fighting off disease and just a general lack of resilience and ability to thrive. I'd say that's probably the greatest risk.
I think it's also kind of scary when you think about sarcopenia and aging and how you want to sort of enter your latter years of life with as much muscle as you can.
Muscle mass and bone density, exactly. Yeah, so that, you know, definitely can be a concern. And if you are significantly underweight, I think the chances of something else being present that is contributing to that are higher than if you're just, you know, a little bit underweight. Okay, so now let's get to the main event, which is how to gain weight on a paleo diet.
Drum roll.
Yeah, so there, you know, there are a few strategies here that we're going to talk about, and in some ways they're just like the reverse of how to lose weight on a paleo diet. And then I'm going to talk about some other strategies that involve expanding your idea of what's paleo and, you know, moving more to a paleo template than a strict paleo diet as it's been defined by some people. And that was partly my solution, which I'll talk a little bit about. So I know a lot of people out there think calories have nothing to do with weight loss or weight gain. I'm not one of those people. So I think if you want to gain weight, you need to be eating more calories in general. And I think you need to be eating liberally from all of the macronutrient groups. Generally, if you restrict one class of macronutrients like carbohydrate or fat, you're going to either maintain or lose weight because you're really reducing the reward value of that diet. You're making it less likely that you're going to overeat or eat, you know, be in a state of caloric excess, which you want to be in if you're gaining weight. So I don't recommend like a low carb diet, or certainly not a low fat diet, for people who are trying to gain weight. I recommend that you eat liberally from all of the macronutrient groups, protein, fat, and carbohydrates. In particular, I think skinny, lean people, and particularly guys, do well by really bumping up their starch intake. I've noticed, because I have everyone fill out a diet survey when they come to see me, and they also tell me what kind of diet they're following, a lot of people say, oh, I'm on a moderate carbohydrate diet. And when I look at what they're eating, they have, like, you know, meat and vegetable and non-starchy vegetables, or like eggs and bacon and sauerkraut for breakfast. Then they have like meat and non-starchy vegetables for lunch. And then they have like meat and a sweet potato and non-starchy vegetables for dinner, and with maybe no fruit or one small serving of fruit. And they think that that's a moderate carbohydrate diet. Well, that's actually a very low carbohydrate diet. I don't think that non-starchy vegetables make a significant contribution in terms of carbohydrate value, because we expend a fair amount of energy in breaking down the cellulose and fiber in those vegetables. And the net gain of glucose is very low in non-starchy vegetables. So I don't even really count those. And if someone's just eating like a medium sweet potato, that's like maybe 25, 30 grams of carbohydrates max, and then they eat some blueberries or something, they're going to be under 50 grams of carbohydrate. And if someone is lean and has a fast metabolism, that's a very low carbohydrate diet.
What kind of total calories should somebody be trying to shoot for?
Well, that depends on a number of factors, like their lean body mass and their activity level. So it's hard for me to give an exact amount. But generally, like going back to starch, I would say you should be eating like a significant serving of starch with each meal. So rather than the meal plan, you know, that I mentioned before, you'd have a big, you know, piece of starch with each meal. So like a potato, a full potato, a sweet potato, maybe even two small sweet potatoes, plantain, yuca, and is particularly dense and good for people who are trying to gain weight, taro root. So you would have a major serving of starch with each meal. On top of that, you would have maybe some fruit and additional carbohydrate in between meals if you can fit it in. And that could take the form of a smoothie, which we'll come back to in a second, maybe taro chips cooked in duck fat. When you have your starch, make sure that you're adding fat to it. So again, when we talk about weight loss, we talk about minimizing added fat. But when we talk about weight gain, you know, you want to be having a significant amount of butter or coconut oil or whatever you tolerate together with your starch, and that will help you to gain weight. I mentioned smoothies. These can be really effective and helpful when you're trying to gain weight, for the same reason that liquid calories are best avoided when you're trying to lose weight. And, you know, smoothies is not liquid calories in the way that a Coca-Cola is. But it's still easier to eat more, as I'm sure everyone can attest, in when you're drinking it as a smoothie than it is to, you know, eat additional whole food. So one of my first blog posts several years ago, I think, was called Breakfast of Champions. And it was, this included dairy, but it was my recipe for my morning smoothie that I had. And that was part of my weight gain efforts. And I think it was about 600 or 700 calories when I did the analysis in nutrition data. And I was trying to shoot for two of those smoothies a day. So that was almost an additional 1500 calories on top of the meals that I was eating. And that's significant. You know, that's a big chunk of excess calories there to help gain weight. So if you're on a strict paleo diet, you can do like coconut milk, maybe some coconut cream, avocado, almond milk, some banana, which is a higher calorie fruit, higher carbohydrate load. You can do some protein powder. I like if you're gaining weight, the pure paleo that's in my store now, which is the beef, hydrolyzed beef protein, is a lot of people who strength train swear by beef as a muscle building substance, and that has both the glycine and the methionine, which in a good balance. So that's a good choice. Whey can be a good choice too if you tolerate it. Then you can put some spinach and some green vegetables or something like that in there, maybe a little bit of cacao, fiber. That can certainly be a few hundred calories depending on how big you have it. And as I said, if you do that a couple times a day, that can easily add an extra 1,000 calories to your routine.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I just want to share this thing from back in my strength training bodybuilding days many, many years ago, that a lot of people that I've talked with who are looking to gain weight really just don't comprehend that this is like a work, like this is a job too. And it's going to be a little uncomfortable when you get going. Like bodybuilders, some of the top ones you see on stage, which nobody here is trying to look like that, but just for reference point, these guys are consuming like 5,000 to 9,000 calories a day. And they're just chugging this stuff and it does not feel good for them. It's just part of their job. And so, you know, it was a conversation I had to have with Jordan a couple of times where like, look, your stomach's only so big, but you literally, you know, whatever, for whatever your root causes are right now, like 2,500 calories isn't doing it. You got to get to 3,500, 4,500, you know, figure it out, but it's still work.
Yeah. And your stomach will generally expand and you'll adapt somewhat to it. So it won't be as hard as it is the first week when you're doing that. And it does tend to get easier, but you're exactly right. It's, weight loss is often work. If you go on a protein sparing modified fast where you're only eating large amounts of protein and non-starchy vegetables, and that's it, basically a low carb and low fat diet, that's not so easy. You know, it's hard for people to stick with, and weight gain efforts can be similarly difficult. So, that's a great point. Speaking of weightlifting, Steve, that's another super important aspect of gaining weight. Muscle weighs more than fat. We've often heard this said. And if you want to increase your weight, one of the best ways to do that is to increase your muscle mass. And so when you combine higher protein intake and higher overall calorie intake with a significant weightlifting program, and generally lifting heavier weights, fewer repetitions might be better for weight gain efforts rather than, you know, if you're trying to get more definition and lean out, you do higher reps, lower weight. Of course, there's, you know, a lot of schools of thought on this, but you want to be lifting weights regularly and doing this to increase your muscle mass and convert those extra calories and those extra protein calories into more muscle and more weight. And that's super important. I think it's really hard actually to gain weight just by eating if you're lean without doing weightlifting. That's definitely been my experience.
Yeah. I think it's really important for people to think about what their goal is here. And if the goal is really just to gain weight, improve health markers and what the mirror looks like, then, you know, lifting heavy things in, you know, 2 to 3 times a week, and stay away from all the compound exercises and all the crazy programs out there, because you're trying to stay in the gym. If you get hurt, then your weight gain efforts go down. And so you want to find some programs like I think Tim Ferriss in the 4-Hour Body had the Occam's Protocol. That seems to work really well for a lot of people. Doug McGuff has a bunch of good programs.
Starting Strength is a really great Olympic weightlifting program. So there's some good ones out there. So make sure that's part of your routine if you're trying to gain weight. Now, so far we've been talking about how to gain weight on a strict paleo type of diet. But there are some other options. If you tolerate dairy, for example, I found that dairy is really helpful for maintaining and even gaining weight. And when I early on in my when I was doing paleo, you know, I didn't even know it was called paleo at that point, but I had sort of discovered it, and I stopped consuming dairy products. It was very hard for me to put on weight. And when I added back things like cream and butter and whole milk kefir that I make at home, and then even raw fluid milk, it was much easier for me to keep weight on. And so if you tolerate dairy, if you've removed it from your diet for at least 30 days and added it back in and you don't have any issues and you've been tested and you don't have casein intolerance or lactose intolerance, then I think dairy can be really helpful for weight gain. And speaking about bodybuilders, there's definitely a lot of bodybuilders out there who drink milk like it's going out of style. Because again, when you're trying to add calories, fluid calories, you know, when they're, especially when it's nutrient dense like milk, full fat milk, I'm talking about, not low fat or non-fat milk, that can be a really big ally and really helpful in terms of muscle building. So
yeah, if you want to expand your horizons, go Google GOMAD. G-O-M-A-D. It's a bodybuilding idea of a gallon of milk a day.
There you go.
And you'll see a bunch of before and after pics of these guys, you know, adding a ton of mass, yeah, which is what we're talking about here.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's that. And then you might even consider some non-paleo carbohydrate sources like white rice, for example, can be a way to pack on some extra starch. And some people find that it helps more with gain than some of the other starches that I mentioned before, like sweet potatoes, plantains, etc. So before we finish, I want to tell a story about one of my patients that had a pretty miraculous transformation in terms of her weight and even body composition. She had been sick for a long time, was really thin and underweight, and she ended up getting a fecal microbiota transplant, a stool transplant. And when I saw her a few months after she had done this, she looked like a different person. Her facial structure had completely changed, you know, much more of a round face. It seemed like almost like wider dental arches, and her whole face looked different. She said that she had developed breasts where she had, you know, she hadn't had breasts for a long time. She really just started to fill out, and her body composition and body type actually did change. And that was just from a fecal transplant, which completely, of course, restored her beneficial gut bacteria. Now, on the other hand, I've seen people who've lost weight after doing a fecal transplant, who've been 10, 15 pounds overweight. They've done a transplant, and that weight has effortlessly come off even without making any dietary changes. So it's just another testament to how important the gut flora is to our overall health. And if the gut flora is predisposing us to being underweight and we fix it, we will probably gain weight. And if the gut flora is predisposing us to being overweight and we fix it, we'll probably lose weight. So there is some anecdotal evidence there that changing the gut can not only change our weight, but even our body type, at least to some degree. So
is there any supplements before we wrap up here, Chris? Because I know, like, for instance, creatine monohydrate has been extensively studied and seems to really be a cheap and easy thing to add into this sort of a program that might help with the weight gain.
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. Creatine has been well studied, pretty safe and pretty effective. So that's something you can definitely do. Protein powder I would consider also to be a supplement, not a normal part of the diet. And that's good. Fermented cod liver oil, the fat-soluble vitamins are important too. But I don't typically tend to go to supplements other than those for weight gain as a first line of effort. I'm more focused on why they're not gaining weight and addressing those mechanisms, and then all of the dietary stuff that we talked about. So, Robert, hope this is helpful. Hope it's helpful for all the other lean, fast metabolism people out there who don't get enough love from the paleo community. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, thanks everyone. And if you want more info about what Chris is researching in between podcasts, the studies he's, you know, looking at, go to facebook.com/ChrisKresser LAC and twitter.com/ChrisKresser.